Beginnings, Part 1. The morning after the Malfoy duel, and more importantly, Elizabeth's confession about John Richard, Lupin sat at his desk, scratching out the details with a distinctly unenthusiastic expression. When Quentin strode in the door and stretched himself out on a leather armchair, he put the quill down. "What are you doing?" Quentin yawned and lit up a cigar.
"Something for Shacklebolt," Lupin replied evasively. "Aren't you meant to be at work?"
Before Quentin could respond to this, Lupin sprang up, pulled out his wand, and opened the study door. There was a loud bang and a shriek. "What the hell was that?" Quentin shouted.
"Loretta and her gun," he responded resignedly as he returned to his desk. "She keeps trying to kill me."
"What?"
"Yeah, it's getting a bit tiresome. Last night she set my bed on fire."
He shook his head disgustedly.
"Honestly, it's just your average sort of fire."
"I'm throwing her fucking ass out of the house!" Quentin shouted wrathfully.
"Don't bother yourself," Lupin shrugged. "Anyway, where would she go?"
"Well, you've a point there," Quentin scowled. "And I'm not going to work today. I'd rather hear about what's going on with you and Elizabeth," he finished meaningfully. "Don't talk around the subject."
"Nothing is going on," Lupin responded shortly. "Give me back my pen."
Quentin had picked up his quill pen and was examining it with interest.
"What sort of feathers are these?"
Lupin gave Quentin an incredulous look, as if he couldn't possibly not know this.
"Ostrich feathers and unicorn hairs."
"You know," Quentin remarked as he handed him back the pen, "you could type up those reports much faster on a keyboard."
Lupin closed his eyes in disgust.
"Please go back to work."
"Not until you tell me the story," Quentin demanded. "I know something's going on with you two, and I want to know what it is."
"Will you never go away?"
Lupin said despairingly.
"Reminding me of John."
"What? That old great-great-grandfather you expect to believe you've got?"
Lupin, who had slept less than 3 hours, briefly fantasized about blasting Quentin onto the floor.
"Why in the hell would I invent a great-great-grandfather who makes me crazy and won't ever die?" he shouted. "For God's sake, go on!"
Loretta leapt through the door with a maniacal scream of glee.
"Time to die!"
she shrieked joyfully, and hurled a machete from within the voluminous folds of her hoop skirt. The machete promptly burst into flames, chased her about the room in a circle, and then followed her out of the door. Quentin broke out laughing.
"Did you hear her coming?" he said when he could speak.
"Sure," Lupin responded cheerfully. "Sometimes I let her give it a go."
Quentin smiled at this and took a few more puffs from his cigar, and Lupin pocketed his wand.
"You aren't going to leave,"
he stated resignedly.
"Not without hearing the damn story," Quentin smirked.
"Fine, I'll show you a bit of it,"
he responded with a sigh and stood up.
"I don't feel like telling it."
A moment later, Quentin found himself walking beside Lupin along a street crowded with outdated cars and passers-by in dreadful 80s clothing.
"What year is this?" he demanded. "Isn't this Kensington Church Street?"
"It is, and it's 1989,
Lupin replied tersely. They walked up to Waterston's Books, where a boyish Lupin, tall, lanky, and appearing rather like an overgrown puppy, stood in a white broadcloth shirt, brown trousers, black boots, and an ill-fitting corduroy muggle jacket he had obviously borrowed from someone else. He was arguing with Victor, who did not reach his shoulder, nor appear old enough to shave. Victor's curly black hair was pushed behind his ears, and a cigarette dangled from his lips in a rather stupid fashion.
"How old were you two?" Quentin said in a startled voice.
17 and 15,
Lupin replied wryly, and gave his younger self a disgusted look.
"This was my Christmas holiday during 7th year.
"Bloody hell, Remus!"
Victor whined loudly as Quentin and Lupin turned back to watch the boys.
"I don't want to go any bloody old bookstore! Let's see if we can get in a pub!"
"You're too young to be drinking," Lupin's boyish self replied irritably. "And I've always wanted to go in a muggle bookstore. You can come or not."
"You're no fun at all,"
Victor whined, but stomped sullenly in the door behind him.
"You're dead dough is what you are."
"Go in and follow me," Lupin instructed Quentin firmly. "I'll wait out here."
"Why aren't you coming?"
When Lupin did not reply, Quentin went on into the store, and Lupin conjured up a muggle cigarette of the sort he and Sirius smoked during the first war, and paced about the sidewalk.
Shit, what the fuck is this? His hands were shaking. "This is exactly why I'm done with this business. Anyway, isn't as if I need to see it again. I know exactly how she looked on that day."
Victor immediately headed off for the magazines, and Lupin for the history and travel section, and Quentin walked behind him, feeling rather foolish. He watched with interest as Lupin began perusing a book, and then suddenly tensed and shoved the book back on the shelf, scanning the room with a keen and expectant air. Elizabeth's voice suddenly rang out from the back of the store.
"Solange, don't run in the store!" she yelled angrily,
and Quentin was amused when a 14-year-old Solange flew around the corner and blundered right into Lupin. Her hair was pulled back into a long ponytail with bangs, and in her blue t-shirt and jeans, she looked rather like a very cute little boy.
"Sorry,"
Lupin told her hastily, as though she'd been the one at fault.
"You were in my way,"
she replied haughtily, and Quentin started laughing. She was a little brat. No wonder Timothy's like he is.
"Perhaps you shouldn't run in the store,"
Lupin told her sternly, and Solange scowled at him.
"I'm trying to get away from my sister,"
she whispered furiously.
"She's so bossy."
"Solange!"
Elizabeth's exasperated voice was coming closer.
"Stand still so I can hide behind you,"
Solange demanded, and Lupin, who now seemed rather amused himself, stood motionless while Solange darted behind his back. Elizabeth wheeled around the corner and came to a dead halt, and she and Lupin looked at each other for what seemed like an eternity. She was wearing a snug, long-sleeved, red-knit shirt that clung to the outline of her full breasts, a knee-length denim skirt and red flats, her long black hair pulled back in a silver clasp.
I'm sorry,
she stammered out quickly, her eyes never leaving Lupin's face.
I was looking for my little sister. She's very badly behaved,
she added crossly.
I thought she'd come this way.
Lupin said nothing but grinned at her, and indicated with a slight tilt of his eyes that Solange was hiding behind him. Elizabeth gave him a dazzling smile that rendered her absolutely gorgeous.
I don't know what I'll do with her,
Elizabeth continued loudly as Lupin kept gazing at her and smiling.
Mother says we're going to send her to a convent, but it's meant to be a secret.
I'm not going to any convent,
Solange shrieked as she leapt into view, and both Elizabeth and Lupin burst out laughing. Solange yelled angrily and glared up at Lupin.
You didn't help me at all.
Well, no,
he admitted cheerfully.
You're caught out now, though. She might just as well forgive me.
He smiled at her, and she seemed to soften somewhat, but kept staring malevolently at Elizabeth as if she were her mortal enemy.
She begs me to take her places, and then she just runs right off,
Elizabeth told Lupin dramatically.
She worries me to death. Look how she just ran up to you. I mean, I'm sure you're nice, but...
She broke off, obviously embarrassed.
No, you're quite right,
Lupin replied and gave Solange a severe look.
You shouldn't just run up and talk to older boys you don't know. You might be in for a lot of trouble.
Oh, who cares what you think?
Solange screeched unrepentantly and lit off around the corner. Lupin gave Elizabeth a consoling look.
I've a nephew who's just about the same. He's over there by the magazines, perhaps looking at something he shouldn't.
Well, I'm really sorry,
Elizabeth replied demurely.
She's so embarrassing.
Lupin offered her his hand politely.
Remus Lupin, I'm here on holidays, visiting my nephew.
Elizabeth shook his hand and introduced herself very formally as well, but they obviously couldn't quit looking at each other.
Where do you go to school?
She blurted out.
Up in Scotland. I don't think you'd have heard of it,
he replied casually.
I'll be done in May.
Well, you're lucky,
she sighed. I won't be done till next year, and then I'm going off to university. I can't wait,
she pronounced fervently.
What will you study?
Lupin asked her intently. Apparently every word out of her mouth held the utmost fascination.
Music. I play the piano,
Elizabeth replied and flushed again.
You don't sound Scottish,
Quentin smiled at this.
No,
Lupin replied cheerfully.
Not unless I want to. I grew up on the southern coast, in Sussex.
Their conversation was interrupted by loud shouting from the opposite side of the store, and Lupin, who was tall enough to see over the shelves, glanced over and winced.
I think my nephew's met your sister,
he told Elizabeth sheepishly.
Well,
Elizabeth responded serenely,
shall we go terrorize and boss them then? I think we should,
he responded immediately. It was obvious he would have followed her anywhere. And when they reached the magazine section, Quentin spotted Victor and Solange nose to nose, screaming at one another.
No need to step on me, bloody foot!
Victor yelled wrathfully.
You're in my way, you rude boy!
Solange screeched back.
Stop right now,
Lupin snapped. And when Victor looked at Elizabeth, he immediately changed his tone of voice.
Sorry, I really am,
he stammered out.
She's kind of came blundering at me.
She does that,
Elizabeth replied and glared at Solange, who stuck her tongue out at her sister in return. This time travel bit is pretty damn entertaining, Quentin thought grudgingly, as he followed the four of them towards the front of the store, smiling when Solange snatched up a romance novel and stuffed it in her purse when the others weren't looking.
We've got to meet my mom, my other little sister,
Elizabeth told Lupin forlornly.
We're already late.
You have another younger sister?
Lupin said lightly.
She's bad as this one.
Elizabeth put on a displeased face, but her voice was quite flirtatious.
She is even worse. All she does is bawl and whine all the time.
Lupin started laughing.
I'm glad my sister's older than me. A lot older. I just get stuck with a kid is all.
Victor shot him a furious look.
Can I see you sometime?
Lupin said abruptly.
I'll be here another week.
I'd like that,
Elizabeth replied shyly and colored prettily.
My dad will want to meet you first, though, and you better be prepared because he'll grill you about your whole life,
she intoned direly. Lupin appeared absolutely horrified by this statement.
Right, he said hastily. Well, maybe we'll run into each other again, on accident, and you can leave your sisters home.
He gave her his polite half-bow and walked out with Victor lagging behind, still looking mutinous.
Oh, Elizabeth whirled around and yelled at Solange. You ruin everything! He was so cute! Ha ha, I guess he doesn't like you!
Solange replied spitefully and began a gleeful sort of dance. Shit, Quentin thought ruefully. Could she possibly be any more like Tim? And how's it I actually feel sorry for Elizabeth here?
I don't know why I have to watch you,
Elizabeth wailed angrily, and then jumped as a folded-up note appeared in her hand.
What's that? What's that?
Solange demanded, but Elizabeth turned away from her and held the note above her head.
Will you meet me at Wickham's malt shop tomorrow at 11, please? Your parents will say yes. Remus.
Elizabeth let out a squeal of delight and stuffed the note down the front of her shirt, and Quentin strode out onto the sidewalk where Lupin was hastily putting out a cigarette.
Good show, he told him dryly. She's quite smitten with you. And now I know why Solange never told me this story.
Yeah, it's pretty funny now, isn't it?
Lupin replied offhandedly.
I was terrified she wouldn't show. But she did. I saw her every day after that. 5 days,
he said wistfully.
Till I had to go back to school.
And Richard and Caroline let her do this,
Quentin said disbelievingly.
Well,
Lupin mumbled.
It's a bit of a confounding spell on them, actually.
Quentin raised an eyebrow. And you didn't get in trouble for this?
Definitely,
Lupin replied with a grin.
I had 12 detentions waiting for me when I got back to school.
Did anything happen during these secret meetings?
The street scene disappeared, and Quentin found himself back in Lupin's study, where he kept talking as if nothing had occurred.
Not what you're thinking of. You know how sheltered those girls were. I didn't want to scare her off, you know. She thought I was a rather strange fellow anyway.
I can imagine,
Quentin responded dryly.
Yeah, Lupin sighed. We walked around the parks and talked and went to this little cafe for lunch, that sort of thing. It was rather awful when I had to go back to school. Or I was rather awful, according to my friends.
He sat down on his leather sofa and perused the fire.
That's where Mooney came from, not the werewolf thing,
he continued soberly.
Everyone said I was always mooning over that muggle girl I'd met on holidays.
Quentin studied on this for a moment. And that was the end of it. This week during holidays?
No,
Lupin replied pensively.
We sent each other owls. She came up to Hogwarts on my spring break, and it didn't go very well. That's about it.
I'm supposed to believe she went to Hogwarts? Quentin demanded. You're fucking kidding me!
Oh, she went all right. Pretty brave of her, really. But I think even you would admit Elizabeth's no coward. She was supposed to be going to church camp, and I sent some literature to her house so she could sign up. It was very official. Richard even sent me a check.
They both started laughing.
When I came by for her, I was got up as a muggle youth minister,
Lupin smiled, and Richard apparently fell for it.
But he had that gun in his hands and kept shouting that I'd better be on the up and up.
Quentin shook his head.
Fuck, would have thought you were so damn sneaky.
Oh, I was desperate to see her again. Absolutely pathetic,
Lupin replied unrepentantly.
Wandered around the forest every night, fell asleep in class, almost lost my prefect status.
So is it worth it? Quentin asked with interest. She got up there.
Lupin thought about this for several minutes.
Yeah,
he replied finally.
It was worth it.
For God's sake, tell me what happened,
Quentin told him impatiently, and Lupin gave him a resigned look and waved his wand again. When Quentin found himself standing on the lawn in front of Hogwarts, he stared at the castle for at least 15 minutes. There is no fucking way this is real.
No possible way. A loud crack resounded behind him, and the very young Lupin and Elizabeth appeared, wrapped up together in Lupin's long blue cloak. Elizabeth stared at the castle, and then at Lupin, with a completely bewildered expression.
"How did you do that?" she whispered. "Where are we?"
"Hogwarts," he said patiently and reluctantly let her out of his arms.
"You know, where I go to school. We apparated here, like I told you."
Elizabeth sat down in the grass, looking rather pale.
"Sorry," Lupin said fervently and sat beside her. "I know this is kind of strange to you."
"Strange is definitely not the word," Elizabeth replied shakily.
"Right, well, I told you I was a wizard."
"I thought you were joking."
"I wouldn't joke about something like that," he said earnestly. "Look, it's okay, isn't it?"
He gazed at her worriedly, his long sideswept bangs falling across his face, and Elizabeth started smiling.
"Well, of course it's okay," she replied primly. "I just feel like I'm dreaming of something."
"So do I," Lupin responded seriously. "Do you want a tour?"
While Lupin and Elizabeth walked along the pathway by the lake, Quentin, who felt as if he were intruding, stayed a distance back. But when they approached a group of students, his curiosity got the better of him, and he caught up to see what was happening. He found Lupin introducing Elizabeth to his friends.
"This is Sirius, James, Lily, and Peter."
Sirius gave her an approving glance, along with a cocky grin. James spoke to her politely, but was obviously distracted by Lily. Peter flushed with embarrassment and shot Lupin an envious look, and Lily took her hands and greeted her warmly.
"We're really glad you've come. We must never stop talking about you."
Lupin grinned unashamedly as this.
"Yes, I do. When I'm asleep."
"No, he doesn't," Sirius announced and leapt dramatically up onto a log. "Then he talks about you in his sleep."
He clutched his hand to his chest and put on a lovesick expression.
"Elizabeth! Elizabeth! If I can't see you again, I'll fucking die!"
Elizabeth blushed and Lily came to her rescue.
"I know this seems awfully strange," she nodded, indicating their surroundings. "I'm from a Muggle family, too. You get used to it, though."
Elizabeth gave her a grateful smile, and the two girls chatted for a moment before they walked off. "I can't believe Elizabeth's never told anyone this," Quentin thought in astonishment. "Suppose she couldn't have, though. She'd have to explain why she was here in the first place. And I'll bet Victor doesn't know." He was rather startled when Lupin and Elizabeth rounded a bend in the path and nearly ran right into Severus Snape. He was better looking than portrayed in film, but the hook nose, greasy hair, and sour expression still ruined any possible appeal.
"Found yourself a Muggle friend, Lupin," Snape drawled out insolently. "What does she think of your nocturnal activities?"
Lupin whipped out his wand a fraction of a second before Snape did, and Elizabeth backed away from them both with a squeak of fright.
"Bugger off, snivellist!"
Lupin spat out coldly, his eyes flashing. Snape perused him thoughtfully for a moment, and then, apparently deciding it was in his best interest not to aggravate him further, spat out a final sarcastic comment and strode off. Lupin put his wand back in his pocket and looked over at Elizabeth, who was now a good 15 feet away from him.
"Don't worry," he told her reassuringly. "That's just Snape. Everybody hates him."
"Do you put spells on people?"
Elizabeth squealed in a high-pitched voice, and Lupin stared at her with an aghast expression.
"No, Liz, I'm not an evil wizard," he told her determinedly. "We're all going to join up and fight them. You know, that group my headmaster wants me to join."
"You said it was a group to fight dark wizards,"
Elizabeth responded in a calmer tone, but did not move any closer to him.
"But you haven't told me who these dark wizards are."
Lupin looked unhappily at the ground for a moment, and Elizabeth approached him tentatively.
"It's all to do with this dark wizard named Tom Riddle," Lupin said as he watched her face worriedly. "He's gotten very powerful. Even Professor Dumbledore says he's a threat, and Professor Dumbledore's the greatest wizard in the world," he added proudly. "Riddle calls himself Lord Voldemort," he made a disgusted face, "and his followers Death Eaters, and they're a horrible lot, really bad. Professor Dumbledore says there's going to be a war,"
he finished earnestly.
"Oh,"
Elizabeth replied lamely, obviously trying to take this all in.
"I'm sorry I acted afraid of you. You didn't look like yourself when you were glaring at that Snoop fellow."
Lupin looked at her with a pleading expression.
"It's Snape, and that's because I was angry at him. I didn't want anything to ruin your visit, and then he shows up and..."
He stopped talking. "You were afraid he'd tell her the werewolf secret," Quentin thought knowingly, and glanced at Elizabeth, suddenly aware of just how very young and innocent she was.
"Remus, don't go off to some war and get yourself killed,"
Elizabeth blurted out unhappily.
"I just met you, and I..."
She broke off and looked up at him beseechingly, and Quentin frowned. She was a pretty nice girl, actually. What the hell happened? Or have I ever really known her at all? This was such a disconcerting thought, he immediately put it out of mind.
I'm not planning on getting killed, Lupin replied gruffly. I'm actually kind of hard to get rid of. The Slytherins have tried to drown me in the lake 6 times,
he finished cheerfully.
I suppose wizards can swim, then,
Elizabeth replied primly. Lupin appeared distinctly amused by this.
We can,
he hissed conspiratorially.
I told you I grew up on the coast. My father ran shipyards. I can conjure up a boat.
You cannot, Elizabeth told him sternly.
I'll show you then,
he replied readily and took her hand, and they strolled off towards the dock.
The scene dissolved, and Quentin found himself once again in Lupin's study, where he was pacing restlessly around the room.
That's it, Quentin said irritably. Oh, tell me nothing else happened.
It didn't turn out well, Lupin said meaningfully and looked out of his window. The war started. A year later, she married Victor, and that was that.
Quentin gave him a thoughtful look. You've just put her out of your mind.
That's right,
Lupin replied shortly. You don't ever give her a moment's thought.
Lupin turned around with an unhappy expression.
Let go, will you?
He said with finality.
Please. And I've an appointment. I need to leave.
He disapparated with a bang. Quentin decided there was no need in finding anything constructive to do, since the morning had proved too interesting for him to get enthused about work. So he searched out Solange and found her curled up in bed with a book about wedding planning.
Oh,
she said coyly.
You caught me. I'm being terribly lazy.
Good, he replied and stretched out in the bed beside her. I've been chatting with Remus about how you all met in that bookstore.
Solange blushed and then giggled.
He probably told you how bratty I was,
she pouted.
But Elizabeth was being so horrible and bossy.
Perhaps she was looking out for you, Quentin replied dispassionately.
Are you taking up for Elizabeth?
Solange said in an astonished voice.
Against me?
I suppose I am, Quentin rejoined wryly. I'm sure it's all part of the bloody werewolf's master plan.
Why are you wondering about this now?
Solange asked interestedly.
I asked him what the deal is with him and Elizabeth. You know the fucker can't ever give you just the facts.
There wasn't any deal with him and Elizabeth,
Solange said knowingly.
We met up with him in that store, and she was mad because he didn't give her his phone number.
She didn't see him after that.
Well, I think he was at her birthday party that year with Victor,
Solange frowned.
I don't know that they were ever alone. I didn't see him again until her wedding. He was sort of there.
How could you sort of be at a wedding? Quentin frowned. Was he there or not?
He was there, Solange said thoughtfully. But I don't think he knew there was meant to be a wedding. He and Victor were in some room shouting at one another. Dan said he was probably mad because Victor was getting married so young and hadn't told him.
I don't think that's why he was angry, Quentin countered mysteriously. Did he stay for the wedding?
No, that was the really strange part. We were all getting dressed and he just came in the room without knocking,
Solange announced dramatically.
Can you imagine him doing something like that? Right into our dressing room. Mother had a great giant fit.
He wouldn't do something like that, Quentin replied thoughtfully. Not unless he was extremely upset.
I don't know, Solange pouted. Elizabeth made us all leave. All I heard was him yelling, and you believe this? And then when we went back in the room, Elizabeth was crying. Oh,
she squealed enthusiastically.
Here's the other thing. When we came back in, she had on a different dress.
What? Quentin barked out.
I know,
Solange hissed delightedly.
It was the strangest thing ever. She had this really proper white wedding gown on, and when we came back in, she was wearing this shimmery silver dress that was totally gorgeous on her. If you look at the pictures, you'll see. And I know he had something to do with it. It was really wizardy looking,
she finished dramatically.
Elizabeth ought to wear silver more,
she added thoughtfully, and Quentin smiled.
There is much more to this than you know, he pronounced with satisfaction, and Solange shrieked and clapped her hands.
Oh, what did he tell you? You better tell me.
I'll tell you what I know, Quentin replied laconically. For a prize.
Elizabeth, who had planned to compose herself when she heard Lupin approaching, was horrified when he apparated directly into her sitting room.
Can't you knock?
She yelled and burst into tears again.
Shit, Lupin said unhappily. I'm awfully rude. It's just I knew you were expecting me, so I apologize. It was rude as hell.
Elizabeth kept sobbing, and he put his arms around her and pulled her against his chest.
No, I'm sorry,
she wailed and blubbered until the front of her shirt was wet.
I don't know what is wrong with me. I'm acting so stupid today.
You aren't acting stupid, he told her sternly. You've kept all this inside for far too long.
and last night was horrible for you.
Maybe you're right, she sniffed and blew her nose. It was a big relief, just talking to you.
Good, he replied firmly. There's no need to keep it secret any longer, you know, unless you're concerned about Victor's feelings on the matter.
I don't care about his feelings, Elizabeth declared adamantly. I do not. I hope he's upset. I hope he's really upset.
Lupin smiled rather deviously at this.
I think I do too, he mused. I actually hope he has a great fucking fit and comes after me.
But what will Mother say? Elizabeth blurted out. You know she'll either try to beat me up or follow me around all day wanting to know what it was like, she shuddered. Lupin grimaced.
Yeah, I really don't know what to do about her.
She is so embarrassing, Elizabeth said heatedly. I can't stand it when she starts all that flirting with you. I just want to slap her.
Do you? Lupin replied teasingly. Please tell me you're jealous.
Oh, be quiet, Elizabeth responded sternly. And my father's just as embarrassing as she is. He acts like you're the devil or something.
Well, at least they don't find me uninteresting,
Lupin said affably.
Sirius used to accuse me of being very dull, except when it was near full moon. Anyway, you're the one I'm worried about. Haven't you ever told Solange anything about this?
No, she'd have told my parents, Elizabeth responded crossly. And when she was older, she'd have told Quentin, she added with an awful scowl. What's wrong with that? You know he hates me, Remus, Elizabeth said impatiently.
Lupin looked back at her with a rather dazed expression. She is so damn gorgeous. What were we talking about? Right, that bad-tempered muggle.
He doesn't hate you, he responded matter-of-factly. He doesn't even know you. He was pissed because he thought you'd encouraged Solange to break it off with him, and he never lets anything go. Anyway, some of it you two just put on.
Elizabeth gave him a sour look.
Well, some of it. But he's always shouting at me, and I hate it when men shout at me. He's an awful bully, and sometimes scares me. That's why I yell back at him.
He'd feel quite badly if he thought he actually frightened you,
Lupin replied with a frown, and Elizabeth let out a haughty sniff.
Oh, please. I don't suppose you think you're going to make us friends?
No, I'm not that good of a wizard.
Lupin grinned and then took her hands with a serious expression.
I need to go back to when the baby was born, he said quietly, to look into this.
Go back?
Time travel. You in your room at Fanshawe Manor?
Yes,
she replied in a small voice.
But you shouldn't go back by yourself. I'll come with you.
She was dressed more casually today, in a long-sleeved white cotton shirt and jeans, her hair trailing down her back in a long ponytail, and Lupin thought she looked even younger and prettier than usual, but wished she weren't so pale.
Are you sure?
He said gently, and she nodded. She looked so vulnerable, he found himself wanting to blurt out all sorts of strange and ridiculous things, but shook this off and looked at her intently.
All right, then.
Is he already born?
He asked quietly when they appeared in the hallway outside of her old bedroom door.
Yes,
Elizabeth whispered.
He was born just before sunrise.
I can't do this, Lupin thought suddenly. I've never seen him. I don't know him. This is going to make him real. But you made her a promise, didn't you? He turned the knob and opened the door very slowly. Solange listened in rapt fascination as Quentin recounted Elizabeth's visit to Hogwarts.
I can't believe she never told me this. Oh my God! What do you think happened after that?
I don't know, he shrugged. That's all he's going to tell me.
Solange leapt up with a stubborn and determined look on her face.
Well, I want to know what happened. Something must have happened.
Solange, Quentin snapped out irritably, it isn't any of your business.
Apparently, this was not a concern, since she leapt up and flew out the door.
Where the fuck are you going? Quentin barked out as he followed her to the elevator.
He was extremely aggravated when she stomped into Lupin's den and then headed right off towards his bedroom.
Solange, he shouted. Get the fuck out of his room and quit digging through his personal shit.
No,
Solange shrieked unrepentantly.
Who knows what went on with him and my sister? Elizabeth was really upset when we got back from Paris. And it wasn't about us going to Paris. I've always thought something really bad happened to her that she never told me about.
It's none of your damn business, Quentin yelled furiously.
What's that?
Solange blurted out and pointed to the goldfish bowl atop the dresser.
It's a pensieve,
Quentin replied without thinking, and Solange immediately leaned into it and disappeared. Quentin hesitated only a fraction of a second and then followed her. They found themselves standing on the sunny grass near a lake with a dock in the distance, and Solange took off towards it.
They're right there, on that dock,
she hollered out determinedly. Quentin realized from their clothing it was later the same day, and Lupin and Elizabeth were sitting near the water's edge, cross-legged with their knees touching. Solange plopped herself right down next to them. "You are nosy as hell," Quentin thought, and sat down a few feet away.
"What's your favorite thing to do?"
Lupin asked Elizabeth seriously, as Solange sat beside them and beamed with delight.
"This is great,"
she hissed to Quentin.
"No wonder Tim likes spying."
She looked so impishly cute as she said this, however, he couldn't resist smiling at her.
"Oh, play the piano and read books," Elizabeth replied thoughtfully. "And go outside and get away from my sisters. And go shopping," she added ruefully. "What about you?"
Lupin picked up a strand of her long hair and twirled it around his finger.
"Think about you,"
he said intently,
"and walk in the forest."
"You forgot to tell you like to practice dueling," Quentin remarked dryly, and Solange giggled, "and read books about cursed fire and Death Eaters and the metaphysical paradigm of time travel. Why is he leaving this shit out?"
"He's trying not to scare her,"
Solange asserted firmly, but this attempt had apparently been unsuccessful, since Elizabeth had a shocked look on her face.
"You go walk that forbidden forest," she squealed, "full of the giant spiders and centaurs and werewolves."
She shuddered and missed the brief, anguished expression that crossed his face. Quentin and Solange both winced.
"They don't bother me,"
Lupin replied calmly, but he was now looking at the shimmering green water beside them, rather than at Elizabeth.
"Why do you like it there?"
she asked in a small voice.
"It's peaceful."
He turned back to her and gave her a sad smile.
"I like the smell of it and where you feel free in the woods. Most of my detentions have been for wandering around in the forest or walking outside in the rain when I should have been in bed."
"Or hiding up on top of Professor McGonagall's cabinet and then falling out on her," Elizabeth added loudly. "That was a funny story."
"Not to her, it wasn't," Lupin grinned. "Do you like this music? I can't get it to change the station."
"Yes, I like it,"
she replied serenely.
"How did you get a radio that plays, what is it you call us?"
"Muggles."
She made a dreadful face.
"Well, that is an awful name. How did you get a radio that plays Muggle music?"
"I borrowed it from Lily,"
he whispered conspiratorially.
"Sort of."
Elizabeth rolled her eyes at this.
"What kind of music do you like?"
she asked him sternly.
"Classical and some of this Muggle stone music."
Elizabeth burst out laughing, as did Quentin and Solange.
"It's not stone music, Remus. It's called rock music."
"Okay, stone, rock, whatever,"
he muttered, obviously mortified.
"I'm sorry,"
Elizabeth blurted out and impulsively kissed him. She immediately appeared horrified with herself, but Lupin started grinning as if she'd just given him a lifetime's worth of birthday presents.
"Oh, Quentin, aren't they cute?"
Solange burst in excitedly.
"No," he frowned. "Maybe this was fun for her." "I haven't thought about anything but you since I left,"
Lupin told Elizabeth pensively.
"I can't even study. I'm going to botch all my exams,"
he finished direly.
"Oh, you won't,"
Elizabeth said passionately.
"What do you want to do after you graduate?" "Be an Auror, a dark wizard catcher. That's all I've ever wanted to do,"
he responded determinedly. A few students straggled by now and then, most ignoring the brilliant oranges and reds of the glimmering sun on the lake and glancing curiously at Lupin and Elizabeth instead.
"Everybody's staring at me,"
Elizabeth said in a horrified voice, after a fifth-year Hufflepuff had made a particular show of walking very slowly past them.
"It's because I'm dressed wrong."
"It's not that. Lots of people have a Muggle parent, a sister, or nephews,"
he added gloomily.
"Well, it's because my friends and I..."
He stopped talking abruptly and appeared quite embarrassed.
"Are really popular,"
Elizabeth finished smugly.
"I know you are. Girls can always tell stuff like that."
"Girls are rather frightening,"
Lupin responded wryly, and Elizabeth beamed at him. Lupin walked in Elizabeth's bedroom first, and she trailed behind him rather tentatively. He couldn't see much except for the top of the very young Elizabeth's bent head, and what seemed to be a mountain of pillows surrounding her, and he stopped and looked around the room while he thought he might still think objectively. The midwife, a gnarled-looking old woman with a long tatty brown gown and a pile of brown hair twisted up in a bun, was arranging articles of baby clothing on top of a dresser.
"We'll take him home in this,"
she told Elizabeth firmly.
"I'm not giving him up,"
Elizabeth suddenly wailed from beneath the pillows.
"I've changed my mind. I'm keeping him and I don't care what anybody says."
The midwife became very still and a frown crossed her features.
"Elizabeth,"
she said sternly,
"you're only 26 weeks along. You know he can't survive this early."
"Yes, he can,"
Elizabeth shrieked and began sobbing wildly.
"Well, he's really tiny, but
Look, his eyes are open. Look at all his hair. We should take him to the hospital.
They'll only take him away from you,
the elder woman responded decisively.
You want to spend whatever time he has left with him, don't you?
Elizabeth stared at her in horror.
What do you mean? Well, how much time?
Maybe an hour, the old woman sighed. Maybe a few hours. I don't know. He isn't old enough, dear.
I have to look, Lupin told himself sternly. The suspicion forming in his mind made this imperative. When he started towards the bedside, Elizabeth pulled away and hurried back towards the door. For a moment, he thought he would never actually see the baby. Elizabeth was leaning over him, sobbing, her long black hair hiding him from view. Lupin glanced over at the midwife, who was watching her with a shrewd and calculating expression. You old bitch, he thought with uncharacteristic vehemence. What the hell were you thinking? Elizabeth suddenly leaned back and closed her eyes, and Lupin looked down at John Richard. He does look like Teddy, he thought numbly. More hair, though. His eyes are darker blue. This is my son. This is our son. Without thinking, he reached out his hand to stroke the baby's hair, but his hand went right through him, and when he walked quickly out into the hall, Elizabeth followed him. He put his arm against the wall to steady himself, feeling as if he might be sick. Suddenly, this all seemed horrifying, like being trapped in a painting or walking through a nightmare.
Remus, Elizabeth whispered, her face full of concern. Let's go back. Can you do it?
He nodded mechanically and waved his wand. And when they apparated back into his bedroom, he sat down on a tall red velvet canopied bed and did not speak. Elizabeth glanced down at him worriedly and put her hand on his shoulder.
I couldn't touch him,
he said suddenly.
I couldn't smell him. I couldn't hold him.
He put his head in his hands and burst into tears. This is worse than going back, Elizabeth thought, and threw her arms around him.
Should I have told you?
She said in a small voice.
Yes,
he answered hoarsely.
Of course you should have. He's my son. It'll be all right.
He started feeling rather foolish. You didn't even know him. This happened years ago. How do you think this was for her, going through it alone? He pulled out a bottle of aspirin and swallowed two whole, without water.
Do you have a headache?
Elizabeth said in such a compassionate voice, he wished Quentin could hear her.
Can't you make it go away? No. William can, though. I get a bad one I call him, on my cell phone.
He replied and tried to smile at her.
Aren't you proud of me? I've used it 3 times. Quentin said he almost dropped his when I called him.
Yes, I'm very proud,
she replied in a maternal fashion.
Close your eyes and take a nap. That's the best thing for a headache.
He was much too tired to argue with this directive, and when he stretched out on the bed and closed his eyes, fell into an exhausted sleep immediately. Elizabeth leaned back against the headboard. He looks so innocent when he's sleeping, she thought pensively. I wonder when he stopped loving me. She closed her eyes and drifted back to the last time they'd really been together, the day before it happened, when he'd trapped her in his room with the Muffliato spell. I wish he'd do it again, she thought to herself, and almost giggled. Lupin had his head buried in the pillow beside her as they both tried to catch their breath, and when he looked up at her, there were tears in his eyes.
Elizabeth, I'm really sorry that I frightened you.
Elizabeth burst into tears and sat up.
Don't say you're sorry. It's all my fault. I was lying, but I wasn't trying to have fun with you. I just wondered if it was true, and I thought you were upset over some girl.
He seemed to have difficulty digesting this information.
It wasn't over a girl,
he replied finally.
It's about my friends. They were killed. Or worse than killed,
he added angrily.
What?
Elizabeth said with an aghast expression.
Who? Who's killed?
James and Lily and Peter. And Sirius is in Azkaban, the wizard prison. And that's worse.
He closed his eyes, his face a picture of misery.
They're all gone, he said numbly. All of them. I can't believe it. I mean, I hadn't seen Pete for 2 years. James and Lily went into hiding almost right after the war started. But I've been sharing this tent with Sirius for almost 3 years.
His voice broke off and tears began streaming down Elizabeth's face.
You know, we really get sick of each other sometimes, he continued doggedly. We're still together on our days off. He's the one that was with me when, well, he's always there. He's always there, he repeated.
Oh, Remus!
It was so unbearable to see him like this, she started kissing him.
Don't think about it right now. Don't!
He started kissing her back, and she breathed out a soft moan as he rolled on top of her, his hands entwined in her hair, gazing hungrily at her face and the voluptuous lushness of her body.
"I just want to look at you," he said hoarsely. "I didn't think I'd ever feel better about anything, ever. But when I look at you..."
He kissed her again, urgently, repeatedly, until she was moaning loudly, without the slightest vestige of embarrassment.
"Do you want me to stop?"
he asked in a desperate sort of voice, and she gave him an incredulous look.
"Are you asking me?"
she said in a bewildered tone.
"I thought you were meant to be horrible all day long."
"I am. I mean, I always have been. I don't know what this is."
She relaxed and parted her legs in response, arching her hips up against his. But when he rolled off of her, she snatched up a pillow and put it over her face.
"What's she doing?"
he said in an amused tone.
"I'm embarrassed,"
her muffled voice replied from beneath the pillow.
"Why?"
"I don't ever yell like that."
"Good."
He snatched the pillow away, and she saw that he was smiling.
"Oh, you're horrible,"
she responded teasingly.
"I really am,"
he replied seriously.
"I really am. It's no good, though. I can't ever resist you."
He pulled her on top of him, and when her hair fell around his face, he twisted a lock of it around his hand and breathed it in.
"Sweet,"
he whispered, and tears sprang up in her eyes.
"What's the matter?"
"Oh, nothing. It's just that you always used to do that. Smell my hair."
"It's the wolf thing,"
he muttered with an embarrassed expression.
"I have this thing about scent. When I've come to visit, I always take something of yours back with me. I can smell your scent for a long time."
Elizabeth sat up and looked astonished.
"My blue scarf?"
"Yeah,"
he said sheepishly.
"And my pink t-shirt?"
"That too."
"And my pillowcase? I wondered where all that stuff had gone."
Elizabeth started giggling delightedly.
"It's pretty stupid,"
he blurted out awkwardly.
"I'm really sorry.
Remus, I yelled at Solange for a week about that t-shirt. I knew she stole it."
"Now I feel really bad," he mumbled.
Elizabeth glanced over at the clock, and a sickening feeling of dread swept over her.
"Oh, it's almost dinner time. No one's going to know where I am. And the store's locked, and they're going to think..."
She burst out frantically.
"Well, you better go on, then,"
he replied sternly and looked at the door, which clicked as it unlocked.
"Hurry up before I start acting the way I usually do. And then I won't let you go."
Her face was burning as he watched her get dressed in silence, furiously telling herself not to cry. "He never says goodbye to me," she thought. "What am I to say?"
"How will you get back?"
she whispered out.
"I sent Dumbledore a message," he replied flatly. "He'll come after me."
She burst into tears.
"I'm sorry!"
"No, it's my fault," he told her stubbornly. "And no one else's. I should have told you a long time ago. I should have told you before I ever took you to the beach."
"When will I see you again?"
she asked plaintively.
"Not ever, if I can help it,"
he replied resolutely, and turned away from her towards the wall. "Don't say it, don't say it," she told herself frantically. "I love you."
"You're married to Victor,"
he said almost angrily, and she had the impression he was speaking as much to himself as to her. Elizabeth felt numb, blinded with longing and grief, and sick with fright. "I am. I'm married. I'm a married person, and that second time, he wasn't making me do it then. I'm an adulteress. Mother was right about me. I'm the worst person ever, and now I know I'm going to hell." She stumbled out the door. Elizabeth snapped out of her reverie when Lupin sat up, looking sleepy and sad.
"Are you all right? Is your head better?"
"Yeah. I didn't even have a nightmare."
"Why do you always have nightmares?"
she said after a moment.
"Well,"
he hesitated,
"I suppose because I've been in a lot of battles."
"I didn't think that bothers you so much. Is it when you were bitten?"
As soon as she said this, Elizabeth wished she hadn't.
"It's none of my business," she told him firmly. "You don't have to answer me."
"No, it's fine,"
he replied reassuringly.
"It isn't that. We are these Siberian huskies, and when I first saw him, I thought he was just a really big dog. I got mad when he bit me and yelled something like, 'Clear off, bad dog!'"
he finished in Teddy's voice, and then glanced around the room and frowned.
"What? Someone's been in here."
Back in the Pensieve at Hogwarts, Solange and Quentin, who was getting rather bored, watched as Lupin and Elizabeth walked past them hand in hand, stopping every few feet to exchange a kiss.
I guess he's taking it to the dorms, Quentin said thoughtfully. There was a sudden blinding explosion of fireworks, and a green skull-shaped head appeared in the sky, followed shortly thereafter by screaming and shouting from the castle. Lupin and Elizabeth hurried back past them, with Lupin practically dragging her by one hand and pointing his wand around warily with the other.
"What was that? What was that?"
Elizabeth shouted in a terrified voice.
"Shh! Voldemort," Lupin replied grimly and stood still, frowning.
"Lumos!" he yelled suddenly and pointed his wand towards a wooded area, and Elizabeth covered her face with her hands.
"What are you doing?" she shrieked.
"I'm trying to see who did this. Shh!" he whispered urgently. "Here, get down. These people are dangerous."
Elizabeth let out a shocked gasp when three tall figures in green robes hurried out of the wooded area.
"Stupefy!"
The three suddenly toppled over onto the grass.
"What did you do?"
"If you sweep your wand in an arc,"
Lupin said patiently in what would one day be his professor's voice,
"you can stupefy more than one person at a time. It just takes a lot of practice."
This lesson in defense did not seem to be the response Elizabeth was expecting.
"What?"
she shrieked.
"What are you talking about? And where have you brought me?"
"He's scaring her to death,"
Solange hissed vehemently.
"Yeah, it's not so much with tact here," Quentin replied wryly.
Swarms of students and professors were spilling out onto the lawn, boys shouting, girls crying. Sirius, who had been the first one out the door, raced up to Lupin and Elizabeth with a delighted expression.
"This is fucking brilliant," he enthused happily. "Bloody excellent. You probably ought to take her home, mate,"
he added and gave Elizabeth an apologetic look.
"Sorry, you're not safe here."
"I am taking her home,"
Lupin replied and pointed with his wand towards the stupefied trio in green.
"Those three ran out of the woods right after Dark Mark showed up."
"Good show, Mooney,"
Sirius grinned.
"See you, Elizabeth."
He bolted off enthusiastically into the darkness.
"What does he call you, then? When am I going to see you again?"
"I've no idea," Lupin replied miserably. "I shouldn't see you. They'll come after you. That's what they do."
"I'm never going to hear from you again," Elizabeth wailed. "You brought me here to tell me I'm never going to hear from you again."
"God, he really sucks at this," Quentin commented dryly.
"I shouldn't have brought you here,"
Lupin responded in an anguished voice.
"I should have... You'd want to get away from me anyway, if you knew what I was."
"For God's sake, stop talking," Quentin thought to himself.
"Fine then, take me home. You're crazy,"
Elizabeth hollered, and the castle lawn disappeared with a crack. Quentin and Solange showed up with them in the driveway at Fanshawe Manor, where a younger but still frightened-looking Albert took one look at Lupin and bolted off with pruning shears in hand.
"Tell your dad you got sick and one of the girl counselors brought you home."
Elizabeth nodded mutely, tears streaming down her face.
"Liz, this isn't what I want,"
Lupin blurted out desperately.
I just want you to be safe, and I'll try to, well..."
He looked at Lily's radio, which Elizabeth held in her hand.
"I can kind of send you a message," he said determinedly. "If that radio comes on and it's playing that Annie song, then you know it's from me. And I'll come back as soon as this is all over."
"Okay,"
Elizabeth whispered and wiped her face.
"All right."
There was a loud bang, and Lupin disappeared.
"Oh, don't worry about telling her goodbye,"
Solange shouted angrily into the twilight, and Quentin just shook his head.
"Who's been digging through my shit?"
Lupin frowned.
"They've gone into the Pensieve,"
he declared disgustedly.
"See how the water's cloudy?"
"I know it was Solange," Elizabeth screeched. "She's a horrible sneak."
She and Lupin jumped off the bed moments before Quentin and Solange appeared beside them, and both Fanshawe sisters began screaming at each other.
"Solange, I knew it was you!" "I was worried," Solange shrieked back. "You never tell me things. I knew something happened with you, too."
She swung around and glared ferociously at Lupin, who appeared a bit startled at this attack.
"You were horrible to her," Solange yelled out accusingly. "And you'd better not break her heart again, or I'll tell my dad."
Quentin yanked her out the door while giving Lupin a desperately apologetic look, and Elizabeth sighed.
"Well," she said dryly, "I don't suppose that's much of a threat."
"Why not?
How could my father possibly hate you any more?"
Lupin started smiling.
"This is an excellent point," he replied cheerfully.
"Listen, I need to look into a few things. It might take some time."
Elizabeth sat down on the bed, suddenly feeling quite depressed.
"You're going off to investigate about John Richard?"
"That's it."
"I thought you said we had a mystery to solve together,"
she replied unhappily.
"I mean, oh, I don't know what I mean. That wasn't meant to sound so pathetic."
"It didn't," he answered sternly. "It's just that I need to go somewhere that you definitely can't."
"Where?"
she demanded.
I want to know what's going on. This is my... our baby.
The feral wolves, Lupin replied somberly. I suppose I'll start out with the group in the forest. John Richard was a werewolf, he told her gently, and that old midwife was a witch. Almost all werewolves are bitten, you know, and not born that way. The feral wolves would have given her a good price for him.
But could he have survived? I was only 26 weeks, Elizabeth began in a pleading voice.
Baby werewolves have a 30-week gestation. There are various theories as to why, but
he took a deep breath.
I've got to ask you. What happened when he died?
I thought he was just sleeping, Elizabeth said miserably. Then she picked him up and said his heart had stopped, and I don't remember much after that. I freaked out, she whispered. It's stupid. It was the worst thing that ever happened to me.
I'm sorry, Lupin said quietly. And I'm sorry I wasn't there.
Suddenly, Elizabeth's face lit up like the sun. But if you think she kidnapped him, he could be alive, she burst out excitedly. That's why he wasn't in that coffin. Holy shit, this sucks, Lupin thought despairingly.
That might not be a good thing, he said quietly. You've been raised by wolves, and he wouldn't be anything like me. They're like wild animals.
It's better than him being dead, Elizabeth screeched frantically. You could rescue him. You could teach him how to be better. Lupin knew immediately that nothing he could say would convince her of the futility of such an attempt.
It's been a long time, he replied steadily. Let's find out what happened first. I'll be back as soon as I can.
He disapparated with a bang, and Elizabeth stared furiously at the space where he'd been. Can't you ever say goodbye? Lupin stood outside the gates of Hogwarts for a moment, deciding he was glad he couldn't apparate directly into the forest. There's no way this is going to turn out well, he thought despairingly. Either way. He stopped by McGonagall's office for some tea and just a glimpse of Dumbledore's kindly old face. Albus, however, was not in his portrait, but there was a new one up next to his.
Holy shit,
he blurted out.
Happy to see me, Lupin,
Snape drawled out slyly. I've just put it up today, McGonagall announced proudly. He was a headmaster, you know.
Certainly,
Lupin grinned, surprised to find that he was actually glad to see him.
How are things in the afterlife, Severus?
Quite pleasant, actually, Snape replied with a puzzled air.
Ah, Remus! Dumbledore beamed as he hurried into his portrait.
This is very good timing. Sirius has just given me a message for you.
A message? Lupin blurted out. What is it?
Let us see.
Dumbledore yawned and fumbled about in his cloak pockets.
Bother, too many pockets in this cloak.
McGonagall let out an exasperated sigh. Honestly, Albus, you tell the boy, this amused Lupin, but he hid his smile, that you've a message from his dead best friend, and then you can't find it. Dumbledore just gave her a mild look.
Well, there are a lot of pockets. Ah, here we are, he said enthusiastically and adjusted his spectacles. I see that his language has not improved.
Who cares about that?
Lupin said impatiently, and Dumbledore muttered out an apology.
Let us see. Well, it says, if you fuck this up again, I will come back and haunt you.
Dumbledore pocketed the message and rambled out of his portrait, and Lupin gave McGonagall an incredulous look.
What was that supposed to mean? He demanded.
I've no idea, she sighed. I spent an entire year after Albus died trying to get a straight answer out of him about the afterlife, and he kept going on about lemon drops and socks and asking whether or not I'd cleaned out the phoenix cage. She paused and gave him a stern look. Now, have you gotten yourself a girlfriend yet?
Minerva, please don't start matchmaking, he replied affably. Anyway, I'm sure you think you're too old for me. What's the use?
Of course I don't, Remus, Minerva replied firmly, but gave him an affectionate look. What does a 60-year age difference matter? And why are you being flirtatious with an old woman?
I like old woman.
McGonagall sniffed. Must be near full moon.
Well, 4 more days, Lupin replied sheepishly.
I knew it, she responded with satisfaction. You were always quite cheeky then. Up to no good. Snape stepped back into his portrait and regarded Lupin thoughtfully.
You need to be careful, Lupin, he enunciated precisely.
You're worried about me, Lupin replied incredulously. I think death suits you, Severus. What a delightful thing for you to say, Snape responded drolly. I see you've lost none of the amicability your friends find you known for. Well, be careful with the compliments. I'll end up as arrogant as you thought Harry was.
Snape gave him a disgusted look.
Yes. It seems I was quite wrong about that.
Apparently, this had been quite an unpleasant revelation.
Why are you telling me to be careful? Lupin asked him seriously. You know how well I know the forest. I wasn't speaking of the forest, Lupin. Read between the lines.
He stomped off with a haughty expression, and Lupin looked at McGonagall again.
It's just as I was saying, she pronounced irritably. I believe they come up with these things simply to aggravate us.
Lupin stood up and put on his cloak, and McGonagall, who did not even reach his shoulders in her high heels, began fussing with his collar in a motherly fashion.
Keep it up over your ears, Remus, she instructed him sternly.
Yes, ma'am,
he replied promptly.
Don't give me that cheeky look, young man.
He nodded gravely at this, and when he turned away, Dumbledore reappeared in his portrait and began chuckling.
Whatever are you laughing at, Albus?
McGonagall snapped crossly.
Oh!
All of her office furniture had been turned upside down, and the cats were suspended from the ceiling with distinctly displeased expressions.
In my day!
Phineas Nigellus intoned sternly, but Lupin had already darted off down the staircase. Lupin decided he didn't mind the 5-kilometer walk to the camp, since it would give him time to think things over, although thinking things over kept turning into memories of Elizabeth. Graduation for the 7th years had not been a festive occasion. James, Sirius, and Lupin had taken up residence in Hogsmeade awaiting assignments and had done absolutely nothing for 3 weeks. James was anxious for his upcoming wedding. Lupin wanted the war to get going so it could end and he could get back to Elizabeth, and Sirius was utterly bored.
"Going to see your girlfriend this summer, Mooney?"
Sirius asked lazily as he sprawled on his back in the grass. James and Lupin were flopped down a few feet away, playing an unenthusiastic game of exploding snap.
Maybe, Lupin replied irritably. I could think how it won't look suspicious. I don't want them going after her.
Sirius sat up and looked mildly interested.
So I haven't been writing her? Why are you being so damn noble? I'm not. I'm trying to protect her, Lupin replied in an exasperated voice. You know they'd be after a muggle they think is a girlfriend of someone in the Order.
You're right on that, James added somberly.
Wish Lily would just stay home with her parents. Well, she can fight,
Lupin said impatiently.
Elizabeth can't. Anyway,
he broke off and looked embarrassed.
I think I kind of scared her. How'd you do that?
Sirius demanded as he lit up a cigarette. Lupin recounted their conversations as best he could recall them, and was unsurprised when Sirius burst out laughing and started rolling around in the grass.
You fucking idiot, Mooney! What the hell were you thinking? You meant there's something horribly wrong with you, but you don't tell him what it is? Shut it,
Lupin responded impatiently and poked him with a stick.
It didn't help either. Why don't you just morph into Padfoot? You look just like him rolling around on your back like that.
The shaggy black dog promptly appeared and peed on Lupin's leg, and he jumped up yelling.
It's such a pain in the ass that he's bored, Lupin shouted. Scourgify! I can't stand you,
he told the dog spitefully. Padfoot gave him a dejected look, licked Lupin's arm, and curled himself up on the grass looking repentant. And after glaring at him for a few minutes, Lupin reached over and scratched the top of his head.
I know, James brightened. Didn't you say Victor met her as well? Can't you go see her with him like it's his idea? It will be his idea, Lupin sighed. He's crazy about her.
Despite this proclamation, he was obviously considering the idea.
Tomorrow's her birthday, he said thoughtfully. Maybe she'll be having a party and... Yeah, she could have invited Victor, and he just made me go with.
He leapt up enthusiastically, and Padfoot thumped his tail approvingly. As expected, Victor was delighted with the thought of visiting the Fanshawe girls, although he wasn't foolish enough to tell Lupin why.
There'll be lots of girls at the party, Remus,
he said meaningfully. Whether as a suggestion or to pretend that that was why he wanted to go, Lupin wasn't quite sure. They apparated next door to the Fanshawes and peered through the bushes into a backyard full of paper lanterns, loudspeakers blaring muggle music, and about 30 teenagers dancing or wandering about talking. It was easy to blend in with the crowd once Lupin had changed his clothing to match the other boys, but he couldn't seem to find Elizabeth.
Who are you?
Demanded a sulky-faced girl of about 13 as she stomped over and glared defiantly up at him.
I don't know you!
Why would you? I know Elizabeth from school, he replied carelessly. And who are you?
I'm Loretta,
she announced in a screeching, multi-octave voice.
I'm her sister.
Oh, right, the youngest one that bawls and whines all the time.
I'm Remus. Pleased to meet you.
He really wasn't, but courtesy always came naturally to him.
I'm telling you, Elizabeth, you're here. I bet she doesn't even know you. I bet you just came because you heard there was a party.
The girl screeched triumphantly and darted off in a flash. That other one's a brat, Lupin thought sourly, but this one's just plain evil. He knew Elizabeth had come out of the house before he even saw her, and everyone else morphed into blurred shapes of no discernible form or figure. The sound of the conversation and the music ceased, and all he heard was the chirping of the crickets, and the only thing he could see clearly was her. Elizabeth was clad in a short denim skirt, revealing long, shapely, tanned legs, a clinging blue top with a loose, open cotton blouse over it, and dangling blue earrings. She pushed a lock of loosely curled black hair behind her ear and looked around expectantly, her eyes sparkling in the twilight, and her face flushed so prettily Lupin thought he would never be able to speak to her. She hurried down the steps and rushed up to him, taking his hands in hers.
Remus! She burst out happily. Whatever are you doing here?
Lupin thought to himself he was glad Victor wasn't around. Not that he hadn't been quite responsible for apparating him to the other side of the house.
Wishing you a happy birthday,
he smiled as she pulled him off beneath the tree, and for a long moment they just stared at each other intently.
I'm glad you're okay,
she whispered, and was amazed to see tears in her eyes.
I was really worried about you. I thought I'd scared you off forever,
he replied seriously.
Made a great hash of it.
Well,
she responded primly,
you're awfully strange, that's all.
A lot stranger than you think.
I know, he said gloomily. You deserve somebody normal.
Maybe I don't want anybody normal,
she pronounced defiantly.
Maybe,
he replied stubbornly.
It's because you don't know.
How'd I know, she wailed, when you won't tell me things?
I'll tell you this,
he whispered fervently.
I think you're the most beautiful girl in the world. And I could look at you forever.
Oh, Remus, I...
She looked up at him pleadingly, and her lips parted, and the past 8 months of longing swept over him like some sort of tidal wave. He reached out for her, and with a throaty moan, she seemed to throw herself into his arms.
Can't we go somewhere alone?
He said desperately.
Well, it's my party.
She looked around worriedly.
People will notice if I'm gone.
We'll come back before we left,
he pronounced definitively. And Elizabeth did not question this.
Okay,
she replied with her shy smile. And Lupin, who knew this was the happiest he'd ever been since the day he'd met her, kept his arms around her and shouted out,
Camber Sands, Rye, England.